You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW. Let us surprise you.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
New York is the city that never sleeps, and neither does Sal Licata. From Flushing in the Bronx to the Meadowlands and MSG, Sal sounds off on the biggest sports news of the day. Welcome to WFAN Daily with Sal Licata.
Well, it's not Sal Licata. As you can see, it's Pete Hoffman filling in. You can always hit me up at Hoff, WFAN, and the New York Rangers lost game four in Florida, in OT, off of a, you know, I don't want to say it was a weak-ass type of penalty call, but in the playoffs, you don't call penalties. You kind of eat the whistles. They kind of did it the last, at the end of the third period. So to get a penalty so quick in OT and Sam Reinhart just bury it so quickly, it's kind of deflating. It's kind of upsetting. It's like, where was this the whole game? I understand you have to call the egregious stuff, but it really, I mean, it could have been a penalty shot. I've almost would have taken a penalty shot over a power play because I could deal with Shesterkin one-on-one with anybody. I can't deal with a 5-on-4 momentum on Florida's side. And, you know, Sam Reinhart buries a goal. The first clean goal on Igor Shesterkin, I think, in about three games. If you look back at the first two goals that they scored earlier, you know, they had the tip-in off of, was Verhaeghe, not high stick, but obviously, you know, batted it in. And then you had basically the first goal of the game was basically just a lucky shot that got through, you know, was on the side of the net, kind of crept through Igor Shesterkin's pads, and then everyone kept on chipping at it and eventually went in the net. You know, not clean goals at all. And if you look at the last goals from last game, I mean, everything was all chips. Everything was like a backhand shot that deflected off of somebody. Nothing was really going clean. So, you know, Igor has really been on top of his game. That's the first clean goal he's really given up in the past two games. And it's just depressing. It's upsetting because the Rangers finally played their best hockey since game three of Carolina. You want to put that one period of hockey where Chris Kreider scored three goals in that one period in game six and put the team on his back. Yeah, that was a great period for Chris Kreider. But the Rangers as a whole have not played good hockey, period, end of story, at least as far as dominating. And that's what they did to start the game. This first period, it looked like the Rangers of old. It looked like the Rangers that won the President's Trophy. It looked like the New York Rangers that, you know, were better than every team in the league. The passes were crisp. They were flying up and down the ice. The power plays looked good. They were, again, making crisp passes, just looking like they were a step ahead. And then you go to period two and three, and then, you know, overtime barely was. They looked slow again. They looked like they were being dominated by the Panthers. And that, I think, has been the most frustrating thing because, listen, you know, this series now tied up at two. It's not the end of the world. You know, we would take it. If they won the first two games at home and then lost the last two games on the road, you still sign up for that because it's now the best of three and you still have the two games in hand at home that you feel, okay, Rangers should be able to win those two games. But, man, they've played such bad hockey, and they had the lead. And they found a way to score a power play goal early, and they looked like at least the way the Eagle was playing, nothing was getting by him. And, again, the two goals that got by him were not very sexy. Were just kind of crappy. Listen, let's put it this way. The Wenberg goal that went in overtime on Sunday, that was a fluke. Well, that's kind of how it was when you get a chippy shot that you kind of not high stick it, but just bat it in. It was a lucky shot. I mean, obviously you need to be able to be in position to do that. Hey, that's how that's how Fox fed Lafreniere. Fox made a nice move, kind of passed it up high, and Lafreniere just kind of buried it. And by the way, Lafreniere's been the best Ranger, no questions asked. If you want to pick one player, obviously Igor in net, you could say him all day. But if there's one player that's been the best this playoffs, it is Alexei Lafreniere. I mean, he has been phenomenal. He's starting to look like a superstar. When you're talking about guys who could just go up and down the ice and make moves and deke players out and just kind of make people look stupid. I mean, he's breaking ankles on the skates. I mean, that's what Alexis Lafreniere is doing. He had plenty of opportunities to just make moves, and I thought he was going to get a couple of shots. I mean, he made had a good couple shots on net, just couldn't bury them, but made the defense look stupid, but then buried that one that Adam Fox set him up with. I mean, he really has been incredible. And you got to say, he's the one who's definitely stepped up compared to Mika Zibanejad, compared to Chris Kreider. I mean, Panarin. I mean, where the hell are these guys? Where offensively? And that's why offensively, they started to look better in the first period. You started to see those guys actually look like they did during regular season. During the last series versus Carolina, versus the Capitals, those guys started to fly. They started to look like they had a burst of energy, and then it disappeared again. And that's starting to get concerning. It's only there's three games left. It's a best of three. I mean, obviously, the hope is when the next two in a row, call it a day, go to the Stanley Cup, and let's talk later. But they do have two opportunities to play at home. So the odds feel better. You feel better about it. But those guys got to start clicking, man. Like Thursday, you better see Panarin, Mika, and Kreider all on the scoring sheet. Like, it's not just one of them. All three of them have to be – they got to bury it in the back of the net. They just have to. I mean, Zibanejad, looked like he almost had a couple shots on that were decent. But even Kreider's been all three of them. You can't even say enough about those three, that they are just looking lost right now. And it's very frustrating. And that is a key reason why they lost. I mean, you look through the numbers, scoring two goals, is it going to win you games? When you have Igor Shesterkin, it may, because he's so good. But to give him a power play so quick, and again, Zibanejad on that OT goal, the OT power play that was given up, Zibanejad set that up here. Bad pass. It was a sloppy pass. It was not able to get to the puck and put Blake Wheeler in a bad spot that he had to take a penalty, which really sucked. And then the end, there you go. Blake Wheeler comes out, finally gets on the ice. Filippito sits instead and again, Wheeler's on the ice, takes a bad penalty, is what it is. And then again, I just hate to see it. It's just so frustrating because I think the Rangers should be winning the series. They should be up 3-1. And this should be almost like a sigh of relief. And, hey, we're that much closer to the Stanley Cup. Instead, we now have to grind out the next 2 to 3 games. And, with every game, this is 3 games in a row that got to overtime. With every game, that anxiety just keeps on building and building and building. And I just, it's just a very frustrating loss for the Rangers. Again, the way that Igor's been playing, it's frustrating. And the way that the offense has just looked so dead.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
Now, on top of the Rangers sucking and losing, you had the New York Mets, who, guess what? They lost again, but not just once. No. Twice, because they had a doubleheader versus the Dodgers, and they couldn't do jack shit. You have, in the first game, the Mets are winning a 2-0 game, and guess who was the production? Francisco Lindor, holy crap. The guy that doesn't do anything, the guy that everyone says has to get out of town, who's the worst player in baseball. Wow, whenever he does something, it's not significant. Well, it's funny because he was the only offense for 8.5 innings or 8 innings of this game was Francisco Lindor, a 2-run home run. They're up. It felt like a significant home run. It felt like a big hit. They go to not Edwin Diaz in a safe situation. They go to Adam Ottavino, who, guess what? He fucking blows it too. I mean, everybody blows it. It doesn't make a difference who it is. The Mets keep finding ways to lose. And then let's go to extra innings. Well, no, hold on. Let's not go to extra innings. Let's get bases loaded. Let's get bases loaded in the bottom of the ninth. And we'll give them an opportunity for a couple guys to get a big spot. Hey, Jeff McNeil, maybe you want to get a hit. Maybe you want to find a way to score a run in some capacity. Just please, bases loaded, anything. Do anything. Get hit by a freaking pitch. I don't care. Just find a way to get one of these runners in. Nope, nothing, nada. You go to extra innings and 3-2 right off the bat, and then Freddie Freeman with a 2-run home run to make it 5-2. And obviously the Mets are done after that. And that was game one. Then they had to play another game. And they went out and just got a big old 0-for shutout. And my favorite part is that Mark Vientos, again, 3 games in a row, sets the bench. The guy is the best batting average, one of the best OPSs on the team, is actually hitting the ball. You know, defensively, yeah, I know he's not significantly an upgrade at third base at all, but guess what? He's the guy that needs to play every day at third base. I don't care anymore. I don't want to see Brett Beatty at all, because let me be honest with you. In game one of this versus the Dodgers, he made some bad plays that really, you know, caused significant issues that led to runs. Okay? You can blame it. You can blame everything on Lindor. It's always Lindor's fault. It's always, oh, they couldn't turn this double play. He, in the big spot, he struck out. He couldn't do this. He couldn't do that. You know what? It's time to start blaming other people, because they all suck. They all are terrible. It doesn't make a difference who it is. They're all a piece of crap when they go out and play for the New York Mets and put the New York Mets jersey on. They're just terrible. And if it's one day, if it's Lindor, the next day it's Beatty, the next day it's McNeil, the next day it's Diaz, or it's all of them all together. So it doesn't really make a difference. They're just a bad team. It really comes down to it. Even though I don't think they're that bad. It's so weird because they have spots where they go, this is the game they should win. They're going to find a way to win this game. And then it takes one person to blow it. Now, listen, it wasn't just Ottavino today in the first game. It was Beatty, like we said. You want to go up and down the line between McNeil, who didn't get a hit. Well, do you want to blame it on Lindor for not turning the double? Everyone has an opportunity to take blame for this. It is a group effort, but it's getting annoying. And then you go to game two, which there was just no life. There's zero life. I think they got 3 hits versus Gavin Stone and the bullpen. I mean, they are lifeless right now. And I don't blame them, because there's a lot that we sit here and point fingers to. It's your fault. It's your fault. It's your fault. It's your fault. It's everybody's fault, because everyone's pressing. You want to sit here and talk about the reality of the New York Mets right now. It's not that they're a terrible ball club. It's not that these guys are just straight up trash. That's not the case. Everyone is pressing. We are putting so much pressure on everything they do from game one to game, what is it now? They're 10 games under 500, or they 22 and 32. So it's game 54. From game one to game 54, we've put so much pressure on them, and rightfully so. This is baseball. We're fans. This is what we're supposed to do. But we are putting so much pressure on them that they, I'm telling you right now, they can't handle. None of them can. And they're doing their best to just kind of go through it. But as a team, they do not have the stones to basically play in New York, play for an organization that has this type of pressure. But it's really what it comes down to. They don't have what it takes. I hope that changes. I hope they prove me wrong. But first comes the first. Sit Beatty. Done. I'm over it. If Marvin Mientos is here, play him every freaking game. There is no reason to have three games in a row of his ass on the bench and their offense do nothing. Someone made a point, oh, well, Sunday's game when they won, you know, Mark Vientos wouldn't have been able to make that play defensively that Brett Beatty made. So that is the reason why they were able to win the game. They were down to their final outs, 3-1. They got lucky in the last inning to get on base, to get hits, and get a rally. So let's not make this out to be, oh, well, Brett Beatty saved the game, which is why we were able to come back in the ninth inning. No, 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 no. They got very lucky that Camilo Duvall wasn't good, or that whoever the Giants closer was wasn't good in the ninth inning. And that's what the case was. It wasn't because Brett Beatty made a good defensive play on the field, which then allowed the Mets to come back and win. The Mets are lifeless right now. And Brett Beatty does nothing significant. This is my issue last year when Brett Beatty wasn't getting playing time. Or when Mark Vientos was getting playing time. You had Eduardo Escobar, who was not very good defensively. And he was stealing plays or stealing innings from Brett Beatty and Mark Vientos. And then finally, you know, they're like, well, you know, Beatty's just not really great defensively. But Escobar was terrible. So what the hell's the difference? If Escobar's not hitting and he's not playing defense, put the next guy in line. And it's the same thing. Brett Beatty is not significantly an upgrade defensively over Mark Vientos, where Vientos' bat should not be in the lineup every day. I'm sorry. I'm over it now. So that's the first change. Beatty to the bench, Vientos in the lineup. From there on, there's really no one to call up. That's the other thing. There's no hope in sight. These guys got to figure it out. But I'll tell you this much, McNeil's ass got to get to the bench soon too. If it's not McNeil, if it's not Beatty, if it's not Starling Marte, there's got to find ways to bring in somebody else. If there's anybody, any hope in sight, they got to find ways to. And I hear what David Stearns is saying. Hey, these are the guys. This is the team that we thought could be a playoff team. They're just not playing that way right now. I mean, they are 10 games under 500. And unlike when the Nationals and the Phillies and some other teams in the previous years went off and won the World Series or went to the playoffs after being, you know, X amount of games behind 500, this team looks lifeless. And I don't think the season's over. I'm not going to call it over. I still think they're going to finish around 500 at the end of the year. But this is a bad, bad stretch, and they need to turn it around ASAP. All right, that's it for me. Again, very disappointing losses with the Rangers and the Mets. Three by the two teams combined. And again, that should have been a victory for the Rangers. They should have found a way to win that. With the way that Shesterkin played, the way that the first period looked, it seemed like the Rangers got back to their old ways instead. Last two periods of the OT, back down to the dumps. Well, listen, again, thank you for listening. Thank you for following. Go like, subscribe, all that stuff. I appreciate it. I'll be back tomorrow with Sal Licata, or today, depending on when you're listening to this, or with Sal Licata and Brandon Tierney, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. You can always follow me at HoffWFAN. And listen, it's not over for the Rangers. It may be over for the Mets. It's not over for the Rangers. It's just series of ties up at two, but it just makes it the anxiety build that much more. And I don't want to deal with that till the Stanley Cup. I need to get to the Stanley Cup to deal with the anxiety. Like, stop with the OT. Let's score 4 goals in the next game. Let's get a W and call it a freaking day. I don't care if you win in Florida or not. Get back to MSG and make another 4-goal win. Like, I don't want to deal with these OT games. I don't want them close. I need the offense to start to pour it on. I need Chris Kreider to take control. All right, guys, thanks again for listening to another episode of WFAN Daily.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.